OFC Podcast Radio.
This is deep.
Welcome to OFC Podcast Radio, where every beat, every word, and every laugh is a celebration of our journey. Join Gina the Great, your joy curator, Pharaoh Hammond Freeman, the head honcho, and me, Queen Kaya, your soul sister. Stay tuned for a dose of melanated excellence right here on OFC Podcast Radio. But before we do anything else, we're going to bless our show and the kings and queens listening.
Blessed, melanated, rising, my people. I'm so grateful to life. I'm grateful to God, our creator, and I'm grateful to our ancestors for being present here with us. And I just ask that today's show, let it be entertaining, let it be uplifting, but most importantly, let it be empowering for each and every one of who have tuned in today as we send out that spirit of love, light, unity, strength, great health, wealth, and peace. Hotep, amen. Ashe, Aibobo, Gina the Great. How is our things, man? How are the things?
You know, things are as they are, and they're great. I wanted to come back this week to talk about the Mia Siamese that we spoke about last week.
Oh yes,
I had to go double check because I wanted to make sure that we weren't being insensitive. And while the Mia Siamese saying in and of itself is not what's inherently bad about it. I did rewatch the clip of the song and the song or the video from the cartoon, and it had overall overtones of racism, which you know, find a lot in 100%, which you find in a lot of Disney. But
shucks, I was hoping you would say the opposite.
No, the cats were actually depicted with like caricature teeth that were used like to depict Chinese characters. So if you think about how they used to depict like black folks with like big red lips and like, you know, like just really, really dark skin with big red lips, which, you know, okay, fine. They basically had that these cats have like two big front teeth and you know, with an accent and like there was like Chinese music in the background with gongs and stuff. And I was just like, pretty sure they were like Siamese or Thai, like we said last week. In the remake, in the live action remake, they changed the song entirely. And even the types of cats, actually, they changed it entirely in the live action remake because it was agreed upon that the general overtone of the original scene was pretty much racist.
Wow. Oh, yo, you learn new things every day.
But again, it wasn't necessarily about the going like the Mia Siamese, if you please. It wasn't that lyric. It was like, that everything around it was just like, yeah, he's feeling kind of racist. But you know, hey, that's Disney. I mean, if you guys remember the original Dumbo song.
What, the original Dumbo is racist too?
Oh my goodness.
Damn.
Arrow, did you not know? So in the original Dumbo song, when they were moving, when the circus was moving, and you had the people like taking down the circus and like, and they were like kind of walking toward, like nomading to wherever they were going to next. It was literally like their song was just like, I can't even remember it completely today, but it was just like, it was basically a bunch of black people who were taking down and then putting and moving the circus. And it was basically like something along the lines of, we work all day, we work all night, we don't get paid, but it doesn't matter because if we did, we wouldn't know how to spend it. Like, it was a whole thing.
Oh my gosh, all right, we'll probably play that excerpt. I never even knew this. Gotta educate the people right now.
Oh, and I found that out too. It was actually a media class that I had back in high school, and they showed that they were talking about, or we were talking about like how there's subliminal messages in a lot of things, and that's when they pulled Disney up, and they talked about, you know, how in Little Mermaid, the priest, you know, getting an erection at the end, even the castle, all the ends of the castle were very phallic, and look like the tips of genitalia. There's in Aladdin where Raja comes out and he takes out his hat. And when you listen closely, it sounds like, come on, good teenagers, take off your clothes.
What?
There's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, we know Disney's sick already, right? Just based off of all the children who grew up and were like, yeah, no, I was raped a million times. I thought that was part of the industry. Like, we know Disney is super sick, and we hear all kind of things, but even children that go missing at Disney. Please don't come for me, people who love Disney. I'm just saying these are things that I've heard. I'm just reporting the news. But it is something that But I wasn't.
But they've re. That's why they've remastered a lot of these things, and when they've re, what is it like? I guess submit them or whatever. They've replaced a lot of that stuff, and they had to change a lot of those things.
Wow. Yeah. All right, Gina. Mm-hmm. Shoot. Okay. So was that how your week was?
That's how we're starting at the top of the morning, eh? Right. I was just trying to right a wrong.
Yeah.
At least bring some light on something we said last week, because you know I don't want to leave people hanging on things. But no, other than that, my week's been good. I mean, you know, this is I'm very much in a better busy than bored era of my life, but you know, that's that. I'll let you talk a bit about you, and then we can jump into the value of the week.
Well, yo, on this side, prior to where I'm at right now, before. I was able to connect with some brothers within the community, so I got to give a shout out to Dice B, from La Nuit Blanche, which is 102.3 on their FM dial. So I was on there last Monday night, so technically, or I could say Monday night or last Tuesday morning. The interview is at 1 a.m. and went till about 1:30. Oh, sorry, 2:30. But it was awesome because it just did the depth of the conversation we were able to have in terms of what we're doing as a community was amazing. And again, being able to bridge with the French community is really, it warms my heart, warms my spirit. So I'm really, really excited about just the potentials and what we're doing and just creating these great opportunities. And also shout out to the OFC community. We've been on a bit of a hiatus, but again, last week, Tuesday, the 11th, we had our first bi-weekly business circle meeting, where the members had an opportunity to come out. We had over 20 members join us on the Zoom. I think we were almost like 25 members. It was really awesome for the members to come out and to share about themselves, share about some of the people that they got to connect with within the OFC. It is really just awesome to see. So you guys stay tuned. I'll have a lot of amazing things. And this actually, I was talking about what happened last week. But this week, we also had our Power Circle meeting. Again, Power, just so you guys know the difference, business circles are for the entrepreneurs within the community who are growing in business and who we're here to support and to encourage. And then we have our affiliates, which are a different tier of business owners who are prepared to scale and ready to receive additional business. And affiliates, we have a Power Circle meeting where we group all the affiliates by industry and we help them to network with each other and support each other in their growth. And and that is an amazing, amazing thing. It's great to be able to see them come together and to support each other. So that is awesome. So again, huge shout out to the community. I'm really glad to be able to facilitate that. As you guys are hearing this, I'm also spending some time supporting my father. But I will be back. Anyways, it's seamless to you guys because it's basically regardless that I'm here. I'm virtual. I'm all over the place. So that is what it is. So the value that we're touching on this week, love for self and love for others. That's value number 5 within the OFC. Gina Great, what are your thoughts on the topic?
My thought on the topic is because leading with anger is a disservice to yourself.
Mm.
I mean, like, aren't you tired being angry? Like, isn't it exhausting?
Mm.
Like, how's that fun? It's not fun to do that. Mm-hmm. And I understand that, you know, hurt people.
Facts.
And sometimes that's your default. But and when it is, then there's work that you need to be done on yourself. Like you got to look inwards. And, you know, that doesn't mean that leading with love doesn't mean that you have to say yes to everything and that everything you have to accept everything. But it does mean just have good intentions in the things that you do. Because to do anything to do anything at all with bad intentions is just it's unnecessary. It's negative energy, and you know you get what you give. And so if you can, if at any point in time there's something that you're doing and you recognize that you cannot do that with a space of good intention or leading with love, you're better off keeping it to yourself and not doing it at all.
Yeah.
Because it will just come back to you tenfold.
Facts.
And it's just not worth it.
Hmm. Well said. I think when I think about this value in terms of you know, love for self and love for others. So first thing that comes to my mind is how important it is to love yourself. How important it is to appreciate yourself. And I say that knowing that there are people out there that don't take the time to look at themselves in the mirror, don't appreciate themselves. They spend a lot of time, whether it be regretting stuff from the past, whether it be comparing themselves to others, whether it be because they're seeing them on social media and different things like that. It's so imperative for you to love yourself, because if you don't love yourself first, it's almost impossible for you to love others. Like you might perpetrate and put out that, you know, that you're there and you have love for all and whatever the case. But if you don't have that genuine agape love for yourself, I'm just saying agape because our up and coming guest, like she's in the church and I feel like it's a word I want to use. But the point is the it's like you need to have this unconditional love for yourself. Like, and I find it's sad because society almost bats us up for talking highly about themselves, and they want you to feel like, yo, you bigging up yourself is wrong and you should be doing for others before you do for yourself. And that's not true. Because we're all one human family, one living organism here together. The better you do for yourself, you're doing for others anyways. You making sure that you're good, you're feeling good, that energy is attractive and it is infectious. So you just walk around with a smile on your face because you feel so good. That and you could pass that on to somebody else. Just holding the door for somebody and smiling and saying have a good day, you're passing that on to another individual. So but it first starts by having that unconditional love for yourself. The other thing too is when you have a particular love for yourself, you're able to navigate life a lot better. What I mean by that is, as we're going through this life experience, we keep saying it, life is lifing max right now. And there's more reasons to be down than there is to be up. But when
if you let it, right?
Is that exactly? And so, and that's really what it is. Like when it's like you have a choice, you could choose to let whatever life is feeding, you could choose to absorb it and then let yourself be down from it, or you could choose to look at that and say, you know what, let me tap into my Christ consciousness, let me tap into that unconditional love for whatever circumstance. Like I have to, just in my own testimonies and even the one I gave last week, I am very confident that if it wasn't for a certain level of confidence I have within myself and a certain appreciation for myself and a certain connection I have with my spirit, hearing negative things about what I'm doing or what my organization is doing or whatever be the case could have thrown me off course. But because I'm able to tap in and choose, because it's always a choice, like a person could tell you, whatever a person tells you, you have the choice to take that as an insult or take it as a learning lesson or take it as a advice or take it whatever, but it's your choice, right? So I choose to feel good, because that the opposite, like you had said at the beginning, it don't feel good. Like it's heavy holding anger, holding discontent, holding a vex. It's heavy. It's sickening. I've watched people get sick just because they're holding a vex. Where it's like, yo, is it worth it at the end of the day? Absolutely not. It's definitely not worth it. So always strive for love. Love is the highest vibration. And that's what they do not want. The systems, the power that be, do not want you vibrating on that level of love. Do not want you vibrating and speaking highly of yourself. They just don't want it. But guys, the more what they don't want is what we have to cling for and reach for. So do not let yourself be distracted by the negative out there. Strive to go after what brings you peace and what brings you joy. Strive to go after your passions, because that's what's going to help you to overcome these times that we're in. And again, as you're loving yourself, it's going to make it a lot easier to love others. So within the OFC, we encourage this. We encourage people to focus on loving themselves and loving for others and setting and being that example. The guest that we have on today, our sister Kayla, I think she's an example of having a certain love for herself, a certain appreciation for herself, because she is our next generation coming up, beautiful people. She's in her early 30s. She's passionate about what she's doing. She's inspired. She's looking to connect with people in the community, just share what she's doing. So I'm glad to be able to have her on here. We spoke a couple of things that have to do with love and relationships and stuff like that. So it's going to be dicey, a little bit dicey, but it's going to be something worth sharing as a community. So guys, sit back and relax as we get ready to dive into another Parlay with the People. If your goal is to purchase a car and to make the process as simple as possible, just get a car broker, guys. You just get a car broker. Big shout out to our homeboy, Hamsdale Jacques, the owner of HJCourtierAuto.com. That's HJCourtierAuto.com. If you're a small to medium-sized business and you're getting started and you're ready to go to that next level, what do you need? You need a phone line and you need a website. Think mainstream Digicom. They got all your telecommunication needs checked. MainstreamDigicom.com. You're trying to get out on the web. You're trying to understand how to navigate through ads. Check out Java Logics for all your marketing, your digital marketing. Where would we be without Preston? I don't even know. Check out Java Logics. I give thanks to Preston for what he's done for the OFC. The amount of positive reviews we've gotten from all his referrals, we're proud to stand behind his work. Check out javalogics.com. No, it's not just because he's my brother. It's because you can't talk hip-hop in Montreal without saying M-City Solo. Guys, check out his latest project, In My Feels, available on mcitysolo.com. If it's not one of the hardest new EPs to hit Montreal, come and let me know. You already know. It's your boy, Faro, bigging up mcitysolo.com. Keeping the culture alive. I gotta give thanks to West Can Folk Performing Company. For the last 40 years plus, they've been promoting our culture through song, drum, and dance, educating youth, the children, the seniors. Just check them out, westcanfolk.com. DeVito, WizKid, Burna Boy. Those are just some of the big names that's blessed Montreal thanks to Afrobeats Montreal. Definitely check out Afrobeats MTL for all concerts, show listings, everything that has to do with Afrobeats in the city. Check out Afrobeats MTL. One full circle. We are the Melanated Community Resource Hub and Network. What does that mean? We're here for each other.
Parlay with the people.
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 Parlay with the people, y'all.
All right, beautiful people. So we are back. So like I mentioned at the top of the show, I was really blessed to be able to connect with this sister. There's no flukes or coincidences. So the fact that we connected and we're here now and she's a part of the OFC, I know there's all kind of divine intervention. So with no further ado, I am really excited to introduce our sister Kayla to the OFC Podcast Radio. Claps, 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 queen. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. It's really an honor.
Awesome. So basically, we had an opportunity to connect over social media, and like right away, one, I was really impressed in just the type of conversations you were having and being able to dialogue and go back and forth, because you'd be surprised the amount of people I speak to and conversations don't really aren't that interesting. So you did catch my attention and I was very intrigued about the things that you brought up. So that's why I was like, you know what? I feel like you're a good fit for the community. I sent you an invitation. You're like, I think I'm a good fit for this community too. And this is it. And I got to give a shout out to Dr. Dorothy Williams, because I think we had some type of thing in common because of Dr. Dorothy Williams. So I am, super grateful to her. So sending her shout outs and her flowers as usual. But before we dive into you as an entrepreneur and what you're doing and how we could support, I want to just give you an opportunity just to introduce yourself to our listeners, for those who might not know who you are, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you. So my name is Kayla. I do many things. I have a background. I'll just start with my background. I have a background in early childhood elementary education, tourism management, and also in modern languages and arts. I currently work in the hospitality industry. I'm also an entrepreneur and an artist, and also a minister in training. So minister as in church, in the church environment. So basically I'm a writer and a singer. I'm a budding musician, and I write poetry. I write short stories, blogs. I'm writing a book right now.
Wow. Yeah.
Actually, I have so many books in my head that I haven't like fully written. Mm-hmm. But I have a lot of stuff.
You know, and the thing is, like, when I hear you speak and when I see, it's like, one, your energy is infectious. So the energy that you bring is definitely, and the smile and what you're bringing to life, definitely, I appreciate the energy that you're bringing. And the fact that you're down, like, you're not looking at the, from what I've seen of you so far, and just in the way you speak, you're passionate about things and you're going for it. You're not passionate sitting back and being like, I'm waiting for the ideal opportunity. You're actually making things happen. You're doing it. So kudos to you, Queen, for just taking those initiatives and making those steps. Let me ask you, because you have a lot of different hats and stuff that you wear. If I had to ask you, like, what would you say is your passion?
Oh, wow. I feel like I have so many. The things I'm doing now, I'm passionate for. I'm passionate about many things. I'm passionate about music and arts. Mm-hmm. I'm passionate about going back to the basics as far as using natural products and eating healthy and moving as far away from pharmaceuticals as possible into the natural healing cures, like drinking teas and herbs and, you know, using those things. So naturopathy. Mm-hmm. And I'm also passionate about my community, like about our rights as a people, you know. Wow. Yeah,
well said. Thank you. And you know, and I think if we could segue a little bit, because I think that is what stood out to me in the conversation that we were having when we had initially connected, and you shed some light on a topic that I think is important that we address. Mm-hmm. You know, and we talk about it a bit on air and share thoughts, and because maybe like you had educated me and maybe other people listening, they might be educated to it as well. Mm-hmm. But we were talking about the situation, like, let's just, for lack of a better term, the toxic relationship between Black men and Black women. Mm-hmm. Like, specifically, because it wasn't just like when you and I had connected and we were chatting, we weren't just talking about relationships in general. You were very specific in being like, we have a situation where Black men are not respecting Black women. And I was like, whoa, what? Again, I do live in this utopian bubble that's called the OFC. So I am blessed that where a lot of the people within my surrounding, my circle, I just don't see it. Like, I do see a good amount of married couples. I do see a good amount of relationships. My personal circle is really small. So it's like, for the most part, the people within my circle are on a certain level. So in all honesty, I was pretty ignorant to it, just to say. And then when you started sharing some stuff with me, I was like, yo, is this what's happening? I was like, yo, and being a community builder, it touched me, because I'm like, look, if we're talking about building community and building something solid for the future generation, one of the things when you're looking to build a nation or whatever, it is strong families, right? And if we aren't taking the time to nurture relationships and to be sure that, you know, that we have proper relationships within the community, then we have an issue. Mm-hmm. And again, in this particular case, we are focusing on relationships between Black men and Black women, but all relationships, like, you know, between men and women, or however, you know, you define your relationships, it is important that we actually take some time to discuss, you know, like, what is a good relationship? What's a toxic relationship? How we, you know, how we avoid these things. So I just wanted to give you the floor a little bit. Just one, if you could shed a little bit of just what you know and your experiences when it comes to this toxicity, and then we could talk a little bit more about it.
Okay. Wow. How do I start? Just things that I've noticed. I'm not an expert in psychology. I've studied psychology, but I'm not an expert in it. But I've seen what I've okay, well, what I see in the media and in, I guess, on social media is that there's like this cohort of men who are, let's say, they are spreading misogynistic hatred towards Black women. I just noticed that. I have proof of that too, not just Black women. There are like other men from other communities are doing it too, not towards Black women, but women in general. And I saw proof of that by seeing an ad. I saw an ad just now before we connected, saying that there are influencers that are this misogynistic influencers, quote unquote, grooming young men on social media, and that parents don't know. So I think it said like 65% of parents don't know.
Wow.
Obviously, so that's like a problem. Not just with Black men, but men at large. I've seen it. I'm just like, that's not good.
So I'm sorry to cut you, because and when you say misogynistic men, because I saw a clip the other day, and I'm trying to remember the term that the men were using, but it was along the lines of them presenting themselves as top tier men or high value
High
men.
value men.
Value men.
Yeah, Gina, you closed your eyes when you said that. It's like you're like.
I did, and I have a lot of opinions on this, but I'm gonna wait my turn.
Well, we're having a conversation, Gina. Great.
No, I know, but I'd love for Kayla to really just like finish rounding out in terms of like what she's coming across and what she's seeing and her opinion on that, and then jumping into that.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how to form this in the best way possible. But what I'm seeing is that a lot, I just notice a lot of Black men kind of boycotting and talking down on Black women in favor of white women or other ethnicities, other women. And I'm not saying if there's a bad thing, it's a bad thing to like go out and explore your other options. But when you have to like talk down on another, your own people, like I don't think that's a good sign, because it sounds like you're fetishizing another race because you think that your own race is bad and stuff like that. And I also noticed the representation in the media. I noticed disproportionately that Black men are put with white women. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but there's a lot of representation, and I'm starting to see it now, but I'm rarely seeing a Black woman, like dark skin Black woman, with a dark skinned Black man. And I want to see more of that, and not in the stereotypical role. You know what I mean? Like, not with a Black woman, the dark woman being like having attitude, or like, she's gonna hit her man. I see that a lot,
And you see, and like there's a couple of things you just said there that are standing out, are sticking out to me. One, like the if we're talking about the same type of men, so again, these high value men, if these high
Suppose
value men,
allegedly.
allegedly high value men,
I value
if they are now grooming young men
you.
who don't know any better, for lack of a better term, I think again this is something where we need to intervene as a community to ensure that we're educating men. Like I myself didn't grow up with too many like mentors or stuff like that as I was coming up as a youth, but there was something innate in me that I wanted to be a particular kind of man. I wanted to be a particular kind of husband, a particular kind of father. But so I'm, but I'm, I almost want to say I was self-motivated, and I think it's because of coming up in a single parent household. I knew what I didn't want, right? So I was like, for my children, I would like to create a different experience for them. So that's why I try to, show up and, and do what I can, as a husband and a father. But if this is what's happening in society, I'm concerned, especially because there's a certain level of ignorance, because I'm not sure, maybe it's just me, because I'm not really in the media and stuff like that. But if this is something that is growing and it has a potential of impacting how our future is, like how, and when I say future, I mean future relationships, it is why it's important that we at least start having the conversation now to get people thinking about it. And then, we could always down the line think of potential solutions and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So I'm about to get on this soapbox, guys. Let's get ready. Only because this has many, many, many layers to it. First and foremost, I wouldn't want you to feel ignorant, Pharaoh, to this, because we grew up in an era that wasn't as accessible as it is today because of technology, right? So one thing I want to say to parents out there when it comes down to your children, both your boys and your girls, go and clear those caches and go clear those algorithms. Go unsubscribe to all these things. I had seen one day somebody said, go into their YouTube and unsubscribe to all those things. Because what the algorithm does, it will read your habits and it will show you these things. And there, once upon a time, I used to be that same person to say, Black men aren't supporting their Black women. And there absolutely are Black men out there who are categorically not supporting the Black women. And to your point, Kayla, to lift up other women of other races, they will put down women in theirs. And my fear in this, and how I'm very careful with this rhetoric, is because of the algorithm. Because they know that once they catch you, who is the Black woman who's watching this, and realize you either, and I'm not saying this is you, I'm talking general, right? And then it's commenting like, oh my gosh, look at this dude, da, 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 whatever that may be. That internet's just like, got him. And then all it's going to do is flood your social media with that. In the inverse, it's the same thing with the boys, where they're just like, true chains, yeah, these girls out here, they're gold diggers, da, 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 da. They're like, got you, yeah. We're going to flood you with that. And so I'm saying that because I was drinking the Kool-Aid, and I was just like, yeah, Black men aren't marrying Black women no more. And then to that point too, they started showing a lot of the Black girlfriend effect. Now it's all the Black girls who have the non-Black men, and how they're basically swagged up from being with a Black woman.
Yeah.
And then when you start clearing things, because I started clearing out a lot of my subscriptions and follows, and I because at one point social media is like, every time I opened it, I got annoyed, and I got annoyed just the other day opening it. I'm just like, whoops, I gotta unfollow you, because every time I open you give me something on my news feed, it's nothing that brings positivity to my spirit. And so what we have to do as parents, what we have to do as a community, is that discernment, and is telling those medias, you're not going to get me on that. Because then on the counter is when they said like, oh, all these Black athletes turn around and marry white wives, and then you have a slew of Black athletes like, well, not my wife, not, but they're, well, you don't hear them, they get silenced on those timelines, because that does not follow the rhetoric. And so it's our responsibility to make sure for every negative thing that they try to show you is for us to post three positive ones, and it's to tell them that you are wrong in that. And I love that you said, this is, because this is our community, this is what we see within ourselves. We're seeing the disrespect of Black men towards Black women, but this does happen outside of this race. There is, right now, there is a fear and a worry that there's a lot of men who are trying to say that they're high valued men, and that, these women, to be with these high value men, have to be tall, skinny, light, quiet, cook, clean, and raise children. Meanwhile, you can't afford that. Meanwhile, you can't even do what the quote unquote man thing to do. And you're just like, well, as a man, I da 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 da. And you think that saying of as a man just means because you were born with certain genitalia. And so there's many, many of confusions going around, and there's many of the Andrew Tates going around. There's many of the Kevin Samuels when he was there. And don't get me wrong, Kevin Samuels, he came for the women like he came for the men. But all you came for was negativity. Nothing had positivity to it. So you're just feeding and seeping into the bringing us down and making us feel lesser than, as opposed to us building us each other up. your brothers, your sisters, because I'm sorry, black men, and oh wait, sorry, before I even get back to black men, black women, mams and manses, because when we're hearing this whole thing about the girl cussing out her date or not wanting to come out the car because he brought her to Cheesecake Factory, and how dare he bring her to Cheesecake Factory on a first date, what goes for the goose goes for the gander. Black women out here too in this society, based on the timelines, it's as if at the same moment they show you the black man who said, I'm high value man and I needed this, that, or third, and it's misogynistic, bleh. Then you turn around and then the black woman's just like, well, you can't bring me the cheesecake. It got to be Nobu or nothing. And I'm just like, I just.
Yeah, that's too much.
So it's like we're generally lacking humility as a race. And not even as a race, as a whole.
And you're doing it for the gram. Or you're doing it for the TikTok. Yeah. Right. And you're acting like your life is all these things, and then as soon as the camera's off, you're back to your miserable life. So I think really for me, when it comes down to this, I do think there's an underlying issue, and because we're becoming more and more materialistic based on how social media is, and it's creating a lot of anxiety in people's lives, it's creating these false narratives that people are living all these lives, and that everybody is Sierra and Russell. Look, they did their dues. You know, they're good people at heart, so they good people found good people. That's why you're there.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we have to make sure that we're pushing and liking and commenting on. So that's more on the timeline, because quite frankly, we are part of the problem when we are sharing so much of these things within our community.
Well said. And so it seems like there's also a work to be done in terms of self-love, self-confidence, and understanding where you put your focus. Like that's where you're going to get. So it's like if you focus on like seeking positive, so to speak, and if you put that, if you put whatever energy into yourself, you will, there's a certain energy that you're going to draw back into yourself. So you put that love into yourself, that confidence into yourself, you ignore the BS that's out there, because from what I'm getting is that, so this situation that's happening is a real situation, but there's tons of situations happening, and it's really where you put your focus. And I guess it's even making me think about like when they decide to show us different clips of war or not, or different, like right now there's still things happening in Palestine, still things happening, but just because now they're not really talking about it on the news, it's like it's not happening, and they're choosing what they're feeding us in terms of news. Yes. But that doesn't mean it's not actually happening. And so it's just like, so there are all kind of different atrocities happening on the planet, there's all kind of things happening within relationships. But we now, as a people, have to pick and choose where we want to put our energy, you know, and be an example of what we want to see. So if we want to see like this, like more positive relationships, we got to find those clips and be the ones sharing those type of things, right? Sharing that kind of positive information so that people see it and gravitate. And, you know, maybe it is time that we start looking and sharing positive relationship stories, like what actually works within relationships, and maybe even couples. As you guys are out here listening to us, maybe it doesn't hurt to share some of your you know, your anecdotes that work, you know, within your relationship. Sharing some, just, you know, just putting that content out there so people can see that there is that contrast. Like, yes, there's some negative going on in the world when it comes to relationships, but there is also the positive that we could balance that. So,
and there's a responsibility of us as a people too. So the responsibilities of, like, you know, me, you, Caleb, you, Farrah, like, in terms of, like, the people that are around you, because it takes a village to raise folks. And as you said, like, when they're looking at them, targeting, and they're targeting young men to have to groom them for that, this is where we come in and make sure that you tell them, like, oh, you know, that's nonsense, right? And these podcasts and a podcast, vlogs, or whatever exists, and they have to do that because this is how they're funded, right? This is how they get to continue on. And it's up to us to be like, okay, well, that's not what that is. And then also show those examples in real life, because the space and opportunity for that to be the case, or for them to be able to have a target audience to that, I mean, our generations and the generations before us have to take some accountability to that. when you're seeing a lot of the broken homes, or even if the home isn't as, if the home is mended in different ways, but are you seeing, you know, those, the support, you know, supportive co-parenting, the supportive, mm-hmm. like of, no matter what we are as a relationship, whether we are together or not, there's still respect for your father, there's still respect for your mother, or however that may be. So there's mm-hmm. real life expectations that we, or real life roles that we need to play in these young people's lives, yes. for them to understand that when something like this comes to pass, it's just like, well, that sucks for you, that's your situation, but I know that I'm raised a certain way, on top of going onto their social medias and on top of
bless you.
Thank you. And going onto their platforms and paying attention to what they're seeing, because they rely on us as a community to let the iPads and or the tablets, yeah. and the phones and the TVs raise our children.
Mm. And that's unfortunate.
Whoops, I was on mute. So yes, no, so well said. And again, Kayla, I definitely appreciate you bringing the topic and bringing light to it, because again, it is something that we should be mindful of, and again, mm-hmm. start to double down in terms of feeding positivity.
Yes.
I think it's something to be said that it probably wouldn't hurt to create opportunities for good men and good women to meet, mm-hmm. singles. And it doesn't have to be matchmaking in that way. But it could just be creating opportunities, like, and I'm just right now I'm thinking out loud with you, sister, but it could be something, if there are enough people even within the OFC community, like in terms of how we get down, these are initiatives that we could see, are there other singles within the community who just want to get to know each other? It doesn't mean you guys are connecting to hook up or to become something, but it's good to meet other people who share the same values, who just happen to be single and are open to meeting other people. I don't think that is a crazy thing. And now that I'm hearing what I'm hearing, it's like I said, I'm blessed to be a part of this utopia that I call the OFC. Mm-hmm. But we do have a good amount of members, and who knows, maybe there are others who are open to this idea of, let's just get together as singles and just get to know each other. It doesn't have to be, we're starting off relationships, but it's just good to know that there are the good men out there and good women out there as well. So
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Cool, Quinn. So back to the business. So now, in terms of what mm-hmm. you're doing, in terms of your entrepreneurial self,
mm-hmm.
where are you at within your business? What are some of the challenges that you're having, and how can we assist you in where you want to go?
Okay. My challenge right now is centering, I guess, focusing on one thing. Because I have so many skills, I have a background in many things. I went to school for a bunch of different things all my life since I was like really young. So I have a lot of skills under my belt. So I'm, as they say, I'm a jack of many trades, mm-hmm. but master of none yet. know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah, so just focusing on one thing would be my challenge.
But when you talk about ministry, because ministry, mm-hmm. to me, when I hear ministry, to me, that sounds like a career in itself. That sounds like,
yeah.
that itself is a thing. So if we could talk about that, that avenue, what brought you to it and where you looking to go with it?
Wow. What brought me to it? That is a divine calling. I will say that's a divine calling. And it was probably from like visions that I had in the past, but they didn't come to fruition until like maybe 6 or 7 years later. I'm 31 now, and I had these visions maybe back when I was still in university, you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like after I had this, you know, when you have a turning point in your life, like something yeah. that defines you in your life. So like yeah. After finishing university or leaving university, I went to Uganda and I lived there for a little bit. And that was like, I guess that was a turning point for me, because I encountered God, I encountered spirit, I encountered people who like, who were on the same path as me, who taught me things. And it was also like a Oh my gosh, it was like a Sankofa moment as well. Like,
you
know, where I experienced racial healing, and I experienced God, you know, in different ways than I had experienced here in Canada.
Okay.
So I guess that's where it started.
Right.
And I forgot about it over the years, and then recently it just came back, and here I am doing it.
Well, and you know, the reason I ask you about it is because with listening to what your passions are and what you're interested in, ministry embodies all of those. Because if from what I've seen, my mother is also she is or was a pastor for some time. And now she has her doctorate in theology and stuff like that. But when my years coming up in the church, like when you pursue ministry to an extent, like and you devote your life to it, one in terms of entertainment, because there's a singing aspect, when you're let's just call it church for lack of better terms. So when you have church and your people are coming out, there is that musical component, because that touches spirit, right? So there's that entertainment aspect of what you're doing. But then also you're a writer, right? And which is also very much in line with ministry. A lot of people who have something in their heart and their spirit, they end up writing a couple books. But like pastors, we already know a lot of them put out books. So it almost seems like what you're doing is you're grooming yourself to fully be, you know, be able to emerge fully in ministry.
You're right. I never thought of that. Okay.
Well, just from hearing it, and just from hearing all the elements, like you have all the pieces. So now, and the fact that you're pursuing it, you know, and you're training in it, whatever the case, it could
that
really...
was the last. The funny thing is that was the last puzzle piece.
So yeah, so you're saying it was the last piece of the puzzle. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, actually, because prior to being called to ministry, like I had a background of writing. I've been writing since I was like six, maybe 16. I've been singing since I was a little kid, you know, and I loved music always. You know, I had developed a musical ear thanks to my mom. The thing with the hospitality, that was recent, but not really, because I'd always been interested in learning about different cultures and learning different languages. I've learned so many languages. And I guess the ministry puts it all together because, actually, how do I say this? Yeah, ministry was that last puzzle piece that puts everything together, like you said, you know, and I didn't realize that, you know. I was like, what am I going to do with all these gifts? They don't even make sense.
Well, that's it, but technically they really do, because even that's it. Like, because even what you had mentioned in terms of being able to coordinate and different things like that, like all this are great tools to have. So maybe like from what I'm hearing, you are definitely going down the right route. You have it's like you're able to be call it a triple threat, for lack of a better term, because you'll be passion, you know, for ministry. But then you also have a certain particular skill set that will ensure that one, it's like as you're bringing people together, that musical aspect will matter, because like I said, as you already know, it goes hand in hand, music and the church, music and ministry, music and spirit, but then also being able to write what comes to you, and having that literature be you know, one, tools and resources that you can provide to people, but then at the same time, I'm sorry, but I'm going to break down the business to you, because you're bringing people together to inspire them, to uplift them through the ministry and through the word. And then you also have a product that you'll be able to sell once you've inspired them, that they could go home with. So it's like you have, you know, so it's, if I compare it to the music industry, so you bring people to your concert and you sell your CD, same concept, same concept, but it's the word. Sorry, guys, don't hate me. I'm just saying how I see it in my head. I'm not trying to, I'm by no means am I saying pimp out the church, but what I'm saying is, as you're, it's just natural as you're inspiring people and uplifting people and empowering people, it is good to be able to give them a little something to go home with, and most likely they'd want to support anyways and purchase your books and whatnot. So Queen, I think you are definitely in line and going in the right direction. So how can we support you as a community in terms of what you're doing and where you want to go?
How can you guys support me? I would just, my goal is to just meet people and learn from them, learn from people who are more advanced than I am. You know, I'm open to learning. I think that's mostly it, because, you know, when you want to achieve something great, you're building upon the shoulders of the elders, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, I'm really just looking to learn and connect and meet people, you know, make friends. Yeah.
Amazing. So as people are hearing you, and when you're talking about ministry, are you going into a particular denomination, a particular type of, and the reason I ask that, because as people are listening, maybe there's people who are in church right now, are potential mentors. They could be hearing and saying, oh, I could help the sister. I could, you know, either give her some words of encouragement, give her some words of advice, put her in contact with somebody, maybe give her an opportunity to do a little, to speak to our youth group, etc. So are you working in a particular, not ministry, but you know what I mean? Like a
denomination?
Yeah.
No, I'm non-denominational, but I lean more towards charismatic, because there's so many, but like, okay, charismatic is not a denomination, because like there are people, okay, there's like, even if you're a different denomination, or maybe I should say different denominations, they have like certain leanings. Like some are more like, they just believe in concrete evidence. They don't believe in the gifts of the spirit. They don't believe in the really spiritual aspects, the woo-woo aspects of Christianity. Right. But the charismatics, they believe in, you know, that the gifts are still active. God still speaks to people. Like, you know, God still does the supernatural. So I'm more towards the charismatic, you know?
Okay. Yeah. You just educated me, by the way. I've never heard of that term in my life.
Yeah.
So thanks.
That's like, is new dimensions of Christianity. There's so many dimensions, honestly. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So then, if I'm understanding correctly, you're open to connect with all people who study different levels of spirituality. So just to enhance your awareness and your understanding, but you have a Christian foundation, so to speak. Yes. Is that safe to say?
Yes. Yeah. I'll say that.
All right. But charismatic foundation?
It's charismatic. What's a charismatic Christian? As in like a Christian that believes in the gifts.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, good. Well, Queen, so now I know as an OFC member, people can just go onto the OFC website and platform and punch in Kayla, and they'll be able to connect with you if they want to reach you. But do you want to share any other contact information for people who do want to reach you and who do want to connect with you?
You can reach me on Instagram, call me Beloved7. That's my handle. And also, you can just reach me if you want to, by email. But like, I don't know, I have 1,000 emails, so maybe just call. Maybe just text me.
Yes. The Instagram, a lot of people are on there. So call you Beloved 7 is an awesome way through the OFC platform. It's up to you if you want to give your number on here. But at the same time, when people connect with you through the platform, they can get you as well. But it's completely up to you what you're comfortable with. You know, we have thousands and thousands of listeners, so I'm not too sure if you want them all having your phone number.
Sorry, it's not personal.
So that's what it is. But so no, this has been awesome, and again, I appreciate you just for bringing the insight to the community and for you know, coming on and having a conversation and taking heed to the call. I put it out and said, if you're interested, you're welcome to come on the podcast, and you're like, yes, I'm down. I was like, you see, that is the energy right there. So what I like to do with our guests is give them an opportunity to bless our listeners with some words of empowerment.
Okay.
So as we're getting ready to close, do you have any words of empowerment you'd like to leave with our people?
Wow. Okay. Where do I start? I would like to say that as a community, I know we've been through so many hurdles. We've been through a lot of adversity. The powers that be have worked very hard to separate us and to just divide us, find as many differences amongst us because we're so diverse to separate us. But I believe that we should look more at, I mean, this is going to sound cliche, but we need to look more at what we have in common, you know, which is our ancestry, our spirit, our giftings, and use that as a form of unity to help each other, to empower each other. Let's use what we got, you know, and you are beautiful the way you were created. You are, you know, gifted. We need your gift, and just don't be ashamed to be who you are.
You thank you for that, and thank you for blessing us. Thank you for being a guest with us today on the OFC Podcast Radio. Again, we appreciate you, but more important, I do appreciate you as a member of this OFC community.
Thank you.
You know, and just for being true to the cause. It's like you said, you want to come together and build as a people. And you are here and you're doing it, and it was really awesome to be able to have you, and it was even fun to be able to participate with you at the Michael Jean summit. So that was fun to have you join us.
It was amazing. I wish I stayed longer.
Right? So that was really
but
cool
next year.
There'll be many more opportunities like that. So again, we thank you, and thank you for blessing us today. Wish you all the best in everything that you're doing, and looking forward to seeing your ministry grow and seeing you have an impact on the world. Because sister, we need it. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Blessings.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Actually, it's time to ungrind those gears. Let's get into some interesting facts, tips, and a whole lot of fun with Gina the Great.
Do you know? Oh, excuse me. What the facts is going on? I just ran right into the facts.
Yeah, right.
Farrah, do you know who Baby Esther is?
Baby Esther?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know Baby Esther. I do know Aunt Esther, but not Baby Esther, no.
Do you know who Betty Boop is?
Who?
Betty Boop.
Betty Boop, yeah, that cartoon, the girl, the woman that wears the short skirts, big eyes, short black hair.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, the signature boop doop de boop style associated with Betty Boop was originally popularized by a black cabaret performer and singer named Esther Jones, known as Baby Esther.
Wow.
She was the child star who captivated the audience with her unique vocal style. This is her story. So Esther Lee Jones, who's born around 1919 in Chicago, gained attention in the mid-1920s after winning a Charleston contest. Managed by Lou Bolton, she performed under the various stage names, including Baby Esther and Little Florence Mills, in venues across the U.S. In 1929, Esther toured Europe, performing in countries like France, Spain, Norway, and Sweden. She received acclaimed for multilingual performances and shared stages with renowned artists, including Josephine Baker. We all know who Josephine Baker is. Not much is documented about Baby Esther's experience as a child performer touring during Europe under the management of a white man. The details of her journey and the challenges that she faced and the level of agency she had over her career remain largely unknown. We can only imagine what it was like for a young black girl navigating in the entertainment industry during the time and achieving international success while remaining overlooked in her own country. She was just the baby. There's little documented information about how Baby Esther's parents allowed her to perform or what role they played in managing her career. And given that she was a child entertainer in the 1920s, it's likely that her parents or guardians consented to her performance, but details about her involvement are unclear. Her age remains a subject of controversy. In 1934, she may have been about 12 or 13 years old, as reports from 1928 and March 1929 listed her as 7 years old. However, other sources from 1929 describe her as 10, suggesting that she may have been 15 or 16 in 1934. Additionally, an article from the week of August 22nd in 1931 mentioned that she was 12 years old, further complicating efforts to determine her exact birth year. I mean, we already know. It's hard to tell who, what, where, and when, and how old they are these days.
Because black don't crack.
Black sure don't crack, and you know sometimes the paperwork wasn't paperworking.
Talk about
it. around 1928, Helen Kane, a white singer, became famous for using the similar baby voice singing style. She debuted in the movie Sweetie and soon became known as the boop-boop-de-boop girl. Kane's act closely resembled baby Esther's performance style, but she never credited Esther as an influence. So in 1930, Fleischer Studios created Betty Boop, an animated flapper character based on Helen Kane's look and vocal style. Initially, Betty Boop had a dog-like feature, but in 1932, she evolved into a fully human character. So Helen Kane filed a lawsuit against Fleischer Studios and Paramount for $250,000. Remember, this was like 1930-something, so $250,000 is big money, claiming Betty Boop was based on her persona. However, the defense provided evidence that Kane had copied Baby Esther, presenting testimony from a sound technician who had recorded Esther's performance years earlier. The court ruled against Kane as it was proven that her boop-doop-de-boop act was not not originally hers, and it was taken from Baby Esther. Excuse me.
Wow, good. Well, justice was served. I was surprised. I was gonna be like, I don't hear it.
I mean, justice was served, but I mean, you know, they didn't turn around and give credit to Baby Esther. They only gave her credit because they were getting sued by somebody else. So after losing the lawsuit, Helen Kane's career declined. Esther Jones seemingly disappeared from the public records after leaving entertainment. And to this day, there are no confirmed records of her later life, or her fate remains unknown.
Oh, so they murdered her after the fact?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what happened to Baby Esther. Well, you know, maybe because they weren't trying to pay nobody no $250,000.
That's what allegedly. I'm saying. Oh, yo, they probably took her out. Yo, I hope karma comes back to them. Sorry, I just made a whole bunch of propaganda about
it. A whole one, yeah. Baby Esther's story is a heartbreaking reminder of how unfair life was for many Black entertainers of her time. Despite being the true originator of the boop-de-boop style, she was never credited, and her legacy was nearly erased. We don't know if she ever made or kept the money she earned, and we don't know what became of her after she left the public eye. What we do know is that her influence shaped a cultural icon, yet history failed to preserve her name. That's why keeping her story alive is so important, not just for justice, but to ensure that Black contributors to music, entertainment, and culture are never forgotten again.
Talk about Fletcher it.
Fleischer Studios did not initially credit Baby Esther, Esther Lee Jones, for the vocal style that influenced Betty Boop. It was only after the 1934 lawsuit filed by Helen Kane against the studio that Baby Esther's performance were brought to light as a prior act, suggesting that Kane had adopted her singing style from Esther. This was used as a defense by Fleischer Studios to counter Kane's claim. Fleischer Studios has profited from Betty Boop, a character whose vocal style was influenced by Baby Esther's performance. Despite this, there is no record of the studio providing compensation or formal recognition to Esther Lee Jones during her lifetime. Their acknowledgement came decades later, primarily as a response to misinformation and legal challenges. In response to growing misconceptions online, Fleischer Studios published an article acknowledging Baby Esther's contribution while clarifying that Betty Boop was not directly based on her. Their goal was to correct the historical record and ensure that Esther Jones' story was told accurately rather than through a misleading lens. Let Baby Esther's story be a lesson to all of us. Too often our culture, creativity, and innovations are taken, repackaged, and reprofited from, while we are left without credit, compensation, or control over our own legacies. Baby Esther's name was nearly erased from history despite being true originator of the vocal style that became globally recognized. Fleischer Studios never planned to acknowledge her, and they only did so when it became necessary to protect their own interests. Whether you're an artist, creator, or entrepreneur, protect your work. Copyright, 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 said it three times. Trademark and ownership matters. Black contribution have often been erased, so document everything. Tell your own story, and make sure your name is attached to your work. If companies won't give us credit, we must uplift and support Black creators by sharing, funding, and creating opportunities. And when your culture is exploited, we must speak up and set the record straight. Baby Esther never got her flowers, but we can make sure her story lives on. Protect your creativity, amplify Black voices, and never let anyone take your work without a fight.
Wow, talk about it. Damn,
so that was the black, that was not black fact. That was the fact of the day. And while we're talking about the early 1900s, because you know that's our century now. We who were born in the 1900s. I found the song. So the song it's the song of the Rustabouts for Dumbo, and it starts off with "We work all day, we work all night, we never learn to read or write. We're happy-hearted Rustables." I'm not gonna read the whole thing either, but I'm gonna go down to where I talked about like we don't get paid and stuff. So that it says we don't know when we get our pay. And when we do, we throw our pay away. We get our pay when children say, with happy hearts, it's a circus day today. And I'm going to bring it down back to near to the bottom. And it said, it goes off saying, big top running shape, keep on working, stop that shrieking, grab the rope, you hairy ape. And they're all black workers who are working along.
But I'm here like, I don't know. Did you skip this slave part on purpose? Because I'm looking at
the
this.
Slave
on,
part?
Yo, like when it says, when other folks have to go to bed, we slave until we're almost dead.
That's what I told you. I was gonna. I did skip that specifically. I said I'm just gonna, like, you know, yo, we don't want to bring this
that's
all
what
down.
I'm like, wait, hold on. The people need to hear it. It's like what? Like, hold on a second. Damn.
Oh, but then to that, like, because you see how you ended it, like, oh, we slave all day until we're dead. But the line right after that is, we're happy hearted Rustabouts. And this to me is like, so, you know, I don't know if you ever heard them say, like, how in like certain southern states, like, people are under the beliefs that, you know, the African slaves that came to the US to work on the fields, like, they were happy to do so, that this was, you know, a choice that they made to come and learn these crafts and like, you know, build the knowledge of the land. And, you know, in exchange, they had house and board. And so when you see lyrics like this in Dumbo being sang to children, they're going to think, yeah, but they're happy. They were happy to work all day and work all night while we slept and until they were almost dead, because they're happy-hearted Rustabouts.
Yeah. Wow. The propaganda runs deep.
So deep. So deep.
We need to control our own media's own narratives. Like, it's on a bunch of us. Come if we want control too. It's like,
you got to watch what your children are watching. Watch what your children are watching, folks. Okay. Let's change the gear, and let's change the gear because funny enough when we spoke and knowing that Kayla's coming on the show today, it really worked well because I came across this post, and this goes directly in line with what I was talking about, how we're inundated with so much negative imagery of ourselves. And so muted art says muted argue with yourself, that's their handle, or underscore incandescent. She posts, we've had enough stories of women dealing with bottom tier men. Let's hear princess treatment stories only. And the woman came to post, and I am happy for these posts. I'm going to give you a couple. I won't read them all. Go check out. I found it on Black Love Bible page, which again, like I said, when you start curating your social media to give you positivity, these are the things that start showing up on your feed.
Okay.
So... Lady Sesshomaru said, I spent almost every weekend at his house, and I've never driven myself there. He always picks me up because he knows I hate driving. I've never cooked while I'm there. I got new sheets because I mentioned offhandedly that my sheets at home, that his sheets at home, oh, that her sheets at home were better, and he got new ones. Eb the Beauty Plug, or EB the Beauty Plug. My babe pays a subscription for me to get massages each month. They definitely exist. Nice. You know? Jack says, we went on vacation for his birthday, and he hid gifts for me around the suite to find. On his birthday, I found a new bag on the balcony and Dior shades in the bathroom. LOL. Lil Baby, Susie Savage says, my boyfriend refuses to let me open anything. Doors, cabs, drinks with twist tops. Any container he hands me is already open. And when I hand it back, he closes it and puts it away. He don't lift a finger. My boyfriend is an artist and he draws me like all the time. Like if I go out in a cute outfit, I'll come home in a new picture of me. That was Benjamin's.
I'm not sure if I understand that. He takes pictures of her?
No, he draws pictures of her.
Oh.
So yeah, so if she goes out in a cute outfit or what have you, she'll come back and there's a new picture of her.
Oh,
excuse me, that was it. You know, I'm gonna apologize to you guys because I've been coughing a season today. Not that, you know, I know coughing was my whole co-host last year, but I think I cooked too many peppers and it's still in the air.
Mm.
So I didn't necessarily pepper spray myself. But it's like it's close to the pepper spray situation going on here.
Got it.
Yeah. Sister Shaquille Sunflower says, my push gift was a house. You know what a push gift is, right?
No.
So after you have a baby, you give your wife or girlfriend or the mother of your child a gift.
Wow.
Yeah. Amani says, I never touch a door around my man. He never goes to bed without telling me he loves me. If I tweet something I want, I get it in the mail within 3 business days. He remembers my favorite snacks and drinks and gets them without me asking. He actively plans dates for us both. Excuse me. Oh my gosh.
No, this is cool. But I'm wondering if it's borderlining on a little bit much. No? How sustainable is that? Like,
okay, but hold on. And you know what's funny? I was literally going to stop reading them. Or I think this is the last one. So yeah, V40 says, anytime we are out shopping or dining and they ask what we're celebrating, he tells them her.
Ooh, okay. Well, that's cute. That's easy to sustain. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, it's, again, I'm married. This year is 19 years we've been married. And it's like, yeah, there's love. But there's times where it's just like, because if you set a bar so high, can you sustain that for 19 years?
No, so let's not look at it as setting a bar high, right? Let's look at it at, like, you know, this post was literally her saying, we hear so much about the negativity, like the baby daddy this doesn't pay child support. My man, this, that, and the third, he's mooching on me, blah, 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 blah. We don't go anywhere. He doesn't do anything. Yada yada.
So in context, right? it was like share all your positive anything.
Yes, share the positive things that have happened. Not that, you know, he buy me a house every baby we have. Right. I mean, we had the baby, we have the house now. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's also not like, well, share what he did for you, but don't forget what you did for him. And to that point, I'd love a post from the other side, right? Where it's men, like, instead of talking about, you know, the gold digging women, let's hear the stories about what your women did for you. And, you know, let's focus on those types of posting. And let's be careful to kind of, I mean, and you didn't do it like these men are simps or whatever. You're just like, how can I sustain that? Because, like, there's only so many houses I could buy.
Well, and again, it's like, because what comes to my mind is just managing expectations. So now if you're with your woman and you set this thing where it's like every time she wakes up there's flower petals on the floor, you can't fault her when she's getting up and she's like, just regular floor, see what's happening, right?
But, but to that point, it's like some of these posts were big and grandiose, and it's wonderful, that's beautiful, and I don't think it's about them doing it every single time, but like one thing that was every single time was her saying like she never needs to open anything and him opening jars. And when I read that, I was just like, I thought about the fact that in a lot of the conversations that I had, when I had my conversation with the men in my family, and I did come to the realization, and this is not in a disrespectful way, but men are simple. It's like you want to have your space and like want to know that you're needed, right? Mm-hmm. And like if you give that to a man. Not every man, because nothing's a monolith, and this is I'm trying to generalize anything, but like a person who has goodwill, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you do those little things for them, that stuff comes naturally. And the man will want to open the jar for you. He wants to open the door for you. He wants to do these things for you. And so there's a reciprocity needed there. And there are men who are like that. There are men who are bred like that. There's some men who missed that class. Facts. They didn't get that 101 class from where they needed to. But that's the point, right? It's like, what is sustainable are those little things on both ends. And so that's the same thing where, like, for how a woman will appreciate the little things, like you making sure like that you are opening jars for them, is the same way how she might put a note in your lunch that you have every morning before you go out to work, you know, right, have lunch, you know. It doesn't have to be, everything doesn't have to be grandiose, but, you know, it's the little things that count.
Well, I could tell you, as a man coming up, I'm pretty simple, like you said, and actually, like, and I'm really happy to be simple like this. And all I really want to know is just like, what's on your mind, in the sense, like, if there is something bothering you, and this is I'm not the only one. I know that they enough of the man, then we have the same conversation where our women could be annoyed about something.
How come you didn't read my mind?
No, and it's
did you not know what I was thinking?
And because for us, it's like, oh, something's bothering us. We say it. We're like, yeah, this is what, like, yeah, this is bothering us, and this is this. We have a conversation, keep it moving. On the flip side, it's like, seems like you're slamming doors kind of weird. Oh, seems like you're not. Okay. So now we have to try to figure out what is it? And then when we bring it up, it's like, yo, is there something wrong? Oh, nothing's wrong. Okay. That even the answer seems like there's something wrong, but I guess you're just not ready to talk about it yet. So till then, I guess it's just weird energy in the house for as long as you feel. Where it's like, going back to our point at the beginning of the show, yo, if you're about love, love for self, love for others, you don't even want to hold that vex, especially when for the most part, your significant other has no clue what the vex is about. It doesn't even realize that you're vexed. And then when you really come to find out, it's like, again, you left your socks on the side of the tub. Damn.
That was last week. So even mad this whole week for my socks?
Yeah, but you understand, and like and again, I just give a random example, but you know, it's like sometimes, and not to say it's trivial things, but it's like sometimes it is really that thing, and just because it's griping you in a particular way, you want to hold this vex for super long, and it's like, guys,
I gotta call a spade a spade. I mean, I'll be honest, and like, I have to say, and I'm really not tooting my own horn on this, because it's been clarified, like, it when it comes down to my relationships throughout my history, like, I don't ask for a lot. Like, I'm not a difficult partner. I don't ask for a lot. The only problem is it only takes once or twice for you to do something for me to be like, oh, this is going nowhere, and this is done forever and ever, amen. But as much as I do feel that there are plenty of men out there who gaslight, I absolutely had my moments. And women, you have your moments of gaslighting, because when the man asks you what's wrong, or like, are you okay, and you're just like, yeah, well, you seem like you're not okay, well, no, I don't know why you're acting like that, when you know you're not okay, women, that's gaslighting too. I just need you to know that.
Thank you. Please, you, because it's like, yo, who wins in this situation? Now you hold the vex a little bit longer, we're like, all right, fine. And I'm sorry to say, as dudes, and again, let's not generalize, so I can talk for myself. If you tell me I'm fine, I'm gonna be like, all right, straight. Okay, so I'm good. I'm talk to you later. I guess that whatever, that's you and you, because I'm asking you what to do and you're saying you're good. But everything saying that you're not, that just means you want to hold that for you. And I'm not, who am I to take that? And you want it. You hold that. And I'm going to go about and skip down the street and fra la 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 because I feel fine. That's. this happens to be the relationship show with Gina the Great.
Apparently, Friday. Right? Apparently. Well, on that note, do you remember what you were doing like 35 years ago?
Do I remember what I was doing 35 years ago? Well, how long? This year I'm going to be 35. So that's when I was 20?
If you're going to be 45, 35 years ago is when you were 10. Okay, well, clearly.
Wait, how many years ago did you say?
I said 35, and you're.
No, you said I wasn't sure if I got 35 or 25. Sorry.
No, it's okay. But I see your connection was chipping, so you probably didn't hear it fully. Yes.
Right.
So when you were 10, do you remember?
When I was 10, When I was 10, if I could, I don't remember what, if I could remember what grade I'm in high school, I could tell you what I was doing. Sorry, what grade I was at 10 years old, then I could tell you what I was doing, because I could remember what I was doing depending on what year of schooling I am. So when you're 10 years old, what grade are you in at 10? Is that four
Did
or five?
you say four at 10? No,
Grade four,
you're in fifth grade.
grade five. We had just we were in Pine Corps. I just moved to I'm in Pine Corps doing Pine Corps stuff.
Doing Pine Corps stuff. That's funny. Well, if you don't, no, sorry, I said 35, but I meant 30. I
30
didn't mean
years
30. So
ago?
you were 15. Yeah, you were 15.
I'm in high school now?
You're in high school.
Yo, shout out McDonald High. I'm in high school doing high school things.
Awesome. Because I was going to throw off because I was just like, the year was 1995. Picture it. A la good old Golden Girls. Well, I'll tell you what you were listening to, though, because these 19 songs turned 30 this year.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and I'll probably share, I'll see if I can share a link and see if we can splice these songs into here with
Yes.
the beautiful magic that happens behind the scenes of it all. But Groove Therapy, tell me.
Groove
And I want to see
therapy.
if you, yeah, I want to see if you know these songs too as it comes up. Don't open the link that I just sent. Don't
Oh, I
want
was
you to
like, no,
just
let me
know
cheat.
off
But
top.
groove therapy, no.
Tell me if you want me to give you all my love.
Oh, but big tune, big tune.
Yes. Jodeci, Freaking You.
Oh yeah, of course.
Soul For Real, Candy Rain. My love, do you ever think? Now, I can't promise you guys that we won't be singing on all 19 of these songs. I'm really trying not to, and I'm going to try to go through them really fast so that we're just not doing karaoke in your ears. But there's some bangers in here. Brownstone, If You Love Me. See, I'm
What?
only going to sing it when you're not going to like get it, get it. If
I
you love me, say it. If you want me, prove it.
Oh, shoo. Yes. Okay.
What's his name? Did well, actually, a lot of people sampled from it. TLC, Red Lights, Red Light Special.
Cool. Is that when the song's about being on your monthly and still wanting it? Is that what the song was about? I always wanted to know.
Well, I don't know because I was 10 at the time,
Okay,
so
good
I'm not
point.
sure.
Good point.
This song I don't remember, but it was John B and Babyface, Someone to Love. I didn't remember that in a while. Monica, Don't Take It Personal.
Yes, don't.
Yep. Adina Howard, this I don't know. I know this song very well, and I was 10, I shouldn't have, but Adina Howard, Freak Like Me.
Yeah, did you hear that she was really a sex addict?
Yeah.
So I
Yeah, I
heard too.
think I remember she was married, but I think either if she was married, her marriage didn't survive that, or like her long-term boyfriend, like it didn't work because of that.
Just too much. She just wanted it too much.
Yeah, most she it like she wrote the song because it was truth.
Yeah, the man should have just been taking more CMOS, but anyways, go ahead.
Did they know? Did they even know CMOS like that
Look,
back
that's why
then?
they lost. That's why they're losing. CMOS and peanut punch. Anyways.
My gosh, peanut butter. Okay. Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men, One Sweet Day. You what?
Not, no.
And I know you're smiling down
Oh
on
my
me
gosh, the
from
funeral song. Oh
heaven. You said the
jeez.
funeral
Oh
song.
gosh. Every you want to bring the house down? PSYS. If you
One
find the people
Sweet
crying enough at the
Day.
funeral, bring that in.
Yeah. MJ, You're Not Alone. Faith Evans, Soon As I Come Home. Let me tell you about Faith. I was rocking Faith. You don't know that one?
No.
Soon as I get home. Nope.
Sorry, next.
I'll make it up to you. You're
I wasn't a
crazy.
Faith Evans fan. I don't think I ever
Oh.
heard that song in my life.
So I guess you wouldn't know Faith Evans, You Used to Love Me. I remember the
Oh, you
way you
used to love.
love
That's not Mary J.
me.
Whoops.
Nope, that's
Yes.
ooh. You know that was a rivalry back then. Tina Moore, Never Gonna Let You Go. Total, yeah. Can't You See? You know that one.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a yes or a no?
No, it's a no.
Can't you see what you do?
Oh my God. Okay. It's like, yes. As you sing the song, I just remember the music videos. Okay, sorry.
Fair enough. So For Real, Every Little Thing You Do.
So For Real.
Yes. Montel Jordan, This Is How We Do It. I mean, I feel like they still bang that today like it was, yep. Like it, you know.
I think MC still even did a remix to that.
I think every time it's Friday, someone sings Montel Jordan. Yeah. Mariah Carey, Fantasy.
I don't know the name of the song,
sweet,
but
sweet fantasy, baby.
Yes, yes, of course. Bubbly, good tunes, good times.
Yes. Oh man, I think I'm gonna bump Mariah Carey. She has her discography is wild.
Yeah, facts.
D'Angelo, Brown Sugar.
Okay, of course.
And Monica, Before You Walk Out My Life.
What's the lyrics?
Anna.
Oh, yeah, okay. Just the melody, I'm remembering it. That's all right.
Yeah.
And there's something like that Brandy, that the Boy Is Mine, that's not in there because that's just classic.
That came out after. I don't think that came out in 1995. That came out down the line.
Okay.
That was after. So all those songs turned 30.
Wow. And
when I came across that, I was jamming, as you guys can see, because we just had a little karaoke moment. That might just be a new part of my segment, but not mm-hmm. really, because I don't even know how. Like you know, let's not go crazy with it.
You already know.
Are you ready for some trivia?
I am. Mm-hmm. Well, give me 1 second.
All right, time for trivia. True or false? Crawfish are fish.
Say it again. True or false?
True or false? Crawfish are fish.
False.
False is correct. They are crustaceans.
Mm-hmm.
Costa Rica borders two countries. Nicaragua is one of the countries. What is the other?
I thought we were going with the true or false. You don't want to stick with that?
Okay. Nope.
You want to just bring geography. All right.
Yep.
Wow.
Here's a hint.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Costa Rica borders two countries. Nicaragua is one of the countries.
Puerto Rico. Sorry.
Oh, we need to edit this.
Okay.
Not Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Puerto Rico is a complete island in the Caribbean.
Mm.
It is.
No? So I didn't do good geography.
I hear you. Okay. But the hint is you've been here. You've been in this country before.
But I've been to so many countries. What are you talking about? Mexico?
The country that it is not Mexico. You've been to the country that borders Costa Rica. And you've been there recently. And Costa Rica's in South America.
Man, I've been in South America. Where'd I go? Because you know I'd be globetrotting, right?
It's the only place you've been in South America.
Really?
Yeah.
The only place?
The only place.
And I went recently? Panama?
That is correct. Panama.
Damn! I gotta do better. All right, let's go. Next one I'm gonna do way better. Let's go.
Which of the following is not an official language of Switzerland? German, Italian, or Spanish?
Not an official language of what country?
Switzerland.
Switzerland. Okay, now mm-hmm. and let me get the languages again.
German, Italian, or Spanish?
German.
Let's try again.
Okay, let's go with Spanish.
Correct, from the incorrect first answer. It is Spanish. Spanish is not an official language of Switzerland. Bonus, you can tell me the three official languages of Switzerland.
Is English
one
of
them? The first one. English is not one of them. But you know the first one because You thought it wasn't, and I told you it was.
But how come English isn't on the list? I'm trying to figure that out.
Because it's not England, it's Switzerland.
I know, but I just feel everywhere should speak English. It should be one of their languages. So,
as an official language? English is not even the official language of Quebec.
I know, but Quebec is an anomaly. I think everywhere else it should be English. But anyways, let's...
English is not the official language of many a countries, by the way.
Yeah.
Wow, sorry. The colonizers got you.
Yeah, they got me good, because I'm like, it's not
so
English.
Switzerland borders, sure? Switzerland borders Germany, Italy, and France. And so the three official languages of Switzerland are German, Italian, and French. That's why you have Zurich. So the Zurich area, that's that is German, and that touches the German border. Lausanne is in the French side, and every time I try to think of the area, the space, the place that I went that was in the Italian side, I can't remember. But the last time I was in Italy, I did take the train up to Switzerland to meet my friend up in Zurich, and really, it's really a beautiful trip there.
Well, that's awesome. And like I said, geography was never my geography and history; those two things. Never really my strong point, but, you know.
Yeah, history is not my strength, quite frankly. But in all fairness, I get it. I am an avid traveler. And so sometimes when I'm just like, the answer's so obvious, I understand that that's not. Because geography in school wasn't necessarily my top, but from becoming a traveler, yeah, I'd be knowing places. A word, phrase, or sequence that reads the same forward as backward is called a...
I would more prefer you ask me to give you an example of one, so I could have been thinking of that, but the actual word is called, I have no clue. And even as I said that, okay. I'm like, what are some examples?
Then give me examples. Mm-hmm.
No, I said that, but then I was like, oh, I can't think of one right now. It's too much pressure, Gina.
Well, it's called a palindrome.
What?
A palindrome.
Okay, Laval, good. I appreciate that we're educating people today. Palindrome.
Yeah, so Laval is a palindrome.
Laval, yeah.
Yeah, because it's read the same way forward as it is backwards. It seems like I just got a whole lot of geography here. What's the capital?
I don't know what your point is. Like, yo, like, how did this happen? Like, first of all, you start me off with a true or false, and then you run down this whole thing. I told you school.
Are we back to you complaining every time we do trivia? Are we back to that? I thought we left that behind.
My goodness. All right. And all right,
honestly, okay, the capital of Russia. Let's be honest. I've never been to Russia. I know this. Everybody knows what this is.
Moscow?
Thank you. You see, you were complaining and you already knew the answer.
No, that's because cartoons. I remember seeing something in cartoons.
But you know the answer nonetheless?
Carmen Sandiego. Shout out to her. Okay, go ahead.
Hello. You're in the world. What is the process of water turning into vapor called?
Evaporation.
It is indeed. What is the process of a caterpillar turning into a butterfly called?
Something like chrysalid something.
You said crystal. Metamorphosis.
Yeah. Metamorphosis. Are you sure?
Yes. Oh my goodness. You know what I forgot to say at the top of this trivia? This is, are you smarter than the fifth grader? This was, yes, because I realized that I built a theme my trivias, and this is, are you smarter than a fifth grader?
What's the thing called that the caterpillar is in?
Cocoon?
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
What do you think it was?
Something with chrysalis something.
No, in the cocoon, they metamorphosize. On the periodic table, which element is represented by the letter M?
Nitrogen or something?
It is nitrogen. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And second to last question. If a backyard is 50 feet long and 20 feet wide, how many square feet is the yard?
1,000.
1,000. Well, we're strong on math there, virtual high.
Well, five. I am. Math is a better, like, ask me some multiplications real fast. You see I would crush that. That's
8 times 25.
You said 8 times 25? Mm-hmm. Wow, gee, why are you going to come with big numbers like that? But that's, what, 200 or something like that?
It is 200. It was not a big number. I literally give you 25. But, okay. But you got it. You good. Last question. What is the hardest mineral?
The hardest mineral?
Mm-hmm.
Is diamond a mineral?
It is.
Okay.
And that is the answer.
Diamond is a mineral. Ah, and
what
my
did we
God,
learn last
yeah.
year?
Was it what?
Last year. Last week? What what did we learn last week?
I don't know, but my brain is hurting me. Too much in the morning.
Your brain is hurting you. Bro. What is diamonds made out of?
Diamonds made. Didn't I say coal last week? And you said it wasn't.
Carbon.
Carbon. Yeah. Right. But you sure it's not coal?
Carbon.
Whatever.
I grind. You grind. Sometimes we need to grind together. That's Ungrind My Gears with Gina the Great. I'd like to thank our special guests. This episode is possible thanks to the awesome people at CKUT, the OFC, and Drew in the Stew. Do you have any shout-outs?
Well, do you want to go first?
You,
mine's
no, you go ahead.
Yeah, well, yeah. Because today, actually, it's not. It's a shout-out, but it's not necessarily a shout-out. It's more of a, I just want to take a moment to acknowledge. Like last week, on the 11th of February. It was the anniversary of Bad News Brown's assassination. I think it's important that, you know, we just never forget Bad News, what he meant to the community, the impact that he had on everybody. As we close out, I'll play a little excerpt from him on the school tour, because it's just Bad News was a huge part of what we're doing with the school tour. Just want to put out, just rest in power, God, continue doing what you're doing, sending love out to the whole family, and God never ever will be forgotten.
I probably should have gone with my shout out first, because but my shout out is, albeit February is Black History Month, I am Black. My history is every month. I do want to recognize and highlight the successes and our ancestors who paved the way for us. And I just really want to promote Black love. And Black love, it doesn't matter with who you're with, Black love starts with yourself. So don't look at it as finding love on the outside. Find love within yourself, and that being Black is great. Being Black is a privilege, and being Black is good enough.
Kings and queens, this was the OFC Podcast Radio with Pharaoh Hammond Freeman, Queen Kaya, and myself, Gina the Great. We're on every Thursday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM. Hopefully you got your dose of entertainment, enlightenment, and empowerment. Stay blessed and highly favored.
OFC Podcast Radio.